All right, welcome back. 9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jeremy Wu joining us right now, ESPN contributor covering basketball prospects and the NBA draft as we get the ping pong balls tomorrow night, find out whether or not if we prayed hard enough for Victor. Jeremy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Okay. So Victor Wembanyama, you wrote the piece on Victor Wembanyama and how he fits in with the Rockets. How does he fit in if James Harden is part of the situation here next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think if those two things were to happen, A, obviously a good thing. I think having a guy like Harden probably helps a little bit in the sense that, he'll take up a large part of the offensive workload, probably saves him a little bit from having to be the guy who takes every shot late in the clock. I think the possibilities of those guys in ball screens, very interesting. I don't know that they would get into his way necessarily, right? But or at least not any more than what's already on the roster.
Yeah. James absolutely facilitated an MVP. And, James looks like a different guy sharing the basketball. So maybe he'd be a good thing for Victor Wembanyama here.
Yeah, it's possible. And it all depends on what style they want to play what changes with the new coaching staff. But, at the end of the day, look, if you get Victor Wembanyama, everything else is secondary. Like, whatever else happens, you're still in a very good spot.
Jeremy, I want to ask you, is Wembanyama the type? I talked to an NBA executive who told me that he thought Wembanyama was going to be a little slower starter than maybe people were expecting just because of his strength and having to deal with stronger players. He just thought it was just going to be maybe a little bit slower. We had Yao Ming here, and it was a slower start for Yao, but it clicked in the same year, and Yao figured it out pretty quickly. But I remember early on he struggled with getting pushed off the low box because the game, can be a little more physical, maybe not as much now. But is he the type of player in your estimation that you consider scrapping whatever you've done previously and hitting a different kind of rebuild around Wembanyama, or do you fit him into what the Rockets are doing? In other words, their roster composition. Do you make wholesale changes to roster composition to make it a specifically built for Victor?
Yeah, that's no question to me. If you get him, I think you take some time and you see what everything looks like and how it fits. But ultimately, you get him, that's your guy. There's a reason why the hype is what it is with him. And then to your previous point, I do think there's an adjustment curve for all rookies, but I think he'll catch on pretty fast. I mean, it's not like, for example, but like you said with Yao Ming, different era in the NBA. He has to play in the post against these huge guys. Victor's not a post player. Victor is a perimeter player who happens to be really, really tall, right? So he comes in with the ability of being able to handle the ball and also be able to just shoot over people, which is something that's translatable. So I think there will definitely be some adjustment, but I think that's true for all rookies. So I think it would be unfair to, talk about him saying, oh, he would have a bigger adjustment than anyone else. I mean, he's playing professionally and dominating a professional league right now in France. So
you're not worried at all about his slight build?
I mean, there's been how many players have we said are too skinny for the NBA, right? I mean, for injury purposes, yes, it's possible. Again, anytime you're tall and you're mobile, I think there are injury risks that just come with stress injuries. But again, this isn't a guy who's going to be, playing in the post and hitting people all day. I think he's a guy who you're going to move around the floor and do new things with. And I think, again, it's not like he hasn't dealt with this already in terms of getting, playing physically. Guys already do that to him in Europe. So, again, it's something that is part of the question, but it's not like a bug in the system. It's like you're taking him anyway, and you're going to make it work.
Is he the best number one pick since LeBron?
No question. I, in terms of what we know going into the draft, I mean, his profile, his skill level, at his size, everything about him, it's very unique. It's hard. That's why it's hard to compare him to people. But again, there's a reason why people talk about him the way they talk about him. It's not made up. You see him play for the first time, and you kind of realize why. So,
who are the comparisons in your estimation? you know, we grew up watching a lot of basketball, and I see you see Kevin. You want to say Kevin Durant? John and I remember Ralph Sampson, which was years ago, but that was before the bigs really had the true handles. Is he a longer Trace McGrady? Like, I don't know. Can you make a comparison? He may be just a unicorn, one of one.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly prefer not to compare him to anybody, just because there's just never really been anyone with that template. I think in terms of style of play comparison, yeah. I mean, I think Kevin Durant is probably, and I'm not saying necessarily he'll be that good as a shooter, and certainly probably not right away, but in terms of being that size and being a fluid perimeter player at that size, I mean, Durant is really the only guy in modern history who's done it. At that size. So, you know, defensively, you know, he's so tall. He covers a ton of ground. He will not, you know, he'll be better off defending as more of a power forward than a center. But I don't know. I mean, I think if you look at the development curve of a guy like Anthony Davis, who came into the NBA, was also pretty skinny and also smaller than Victor and nowhere near as skilled as Victor. And, you know, it didn't take Anthony Davis very long to be a really, really, really good player. So, I think you have to keep that in mind. Like, he's ahead of the curve relative to a lot of these guys were when they came out of college.
Jeremy Wu with us here. ESPN covers the NBA draft and college players. Is it crazy to think that the number two team might take Brandon Miller over Scoot?
Not crazy at all. I think it just depends who has the pick, but it's very much not a foregone conclusion.
What do you like about Scoot's game?
Scoot's very physically gifted. He gets downhill really well. He's going to be able to get into the paint and put pressure on the defense. And I think it can take longer for guys like that to adjust to the NBA. But you look at, you know, how De'Aaron Fox has developed for Sacramento, turned into a really, really good player. It's taken him a little bit of time. I think, you know, that's the type of really longer tail development you could see with a guy like Scoot as he adjusts to the NBA and learns to really play his position. But from the perspective of, is this guy physically ready? 100%. Like, he's already going to have a pronounced athletic advantage right when he gets into the NBA.
Jeremy Wu joins us right now, and this is going to be a really interesting, you know, every year people say it's the top, you know, it's a three or four man draft, a five man draft. And yet we saw Walker Kessler from way back have a huge impact on this last year's draft. How do you view this draft in terms of the depth of what we're looking at and where guys can help? How deep can we look for guys to help an NBA team within a year or 2 years?
Yeah, well, I think obviously there's one very, very, very good player. I think you would put Scoot and Brandon Miller probably will go two and three in some order, and then it kind of flattens out. When we see drafts like that, typically that means teams are going to make mistakes. There will be guys who slip who end up having very good careers, who get underdrafted. I think that's part of what makes it interesting this year, is because there is a lot of difference of opinion. It's very flat, so to speak, in terms of, like, differentiation, you know, within tiers, but I do think there'll be good players who get drafted in the teens, maybe even the 20s, sort of due to that nature, right? I mean, we have a lot of freshmen who are younger and not that proven, and then there are some, you know, interesting guys further down in the draft who have more experience and are maybe not getting talked about as much because they're maybe more boring names or just older players, and this happens every year. But I do think that there'll be some steals to be had a little bit later, too.
That's Jeremy Wu with us this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN contributor covering basketball prospects and the NBA draft at Jeremy W-O-O, at Jeremy Wu. Jeremy, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. Look forward to tomorrow night. I'm sure it's going to be real interesting for you to see who comes out of here and in what order and how this is going to all play out. We're really looking forward to it tomorrow because there's a chance that Victor's coming here.
Good luck.
Appreciate it. Jeremy Wu with us this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just a little bit, Mark Berman is going to be joining us as he retires from television next month. Next month will be his last month in Houston television. We will hear from him in just a little bit. Right now, we're hearing from Houston Powder Coaters. These people are unbelievable. I mean, I was driving by on actually, we had to take a detour off I-10 yesterday coming back from Louisiana. And there was this gas station that had all of these old, rusty gas pumps outside. I mean, like antiques that looked unbelievable. And the first thing I thought of was, man, you need to go to Houston Powder Coaters because they can clean all those up and make them look like new again. And if you've got something that's metal, that's rusted out, that just doesn't look good anymore, you want to make it look great. If it's patio furniture or any kind of car part or any kind of like old antique thing like that, like a gas pump and all a different kind of signage or whatever that you want to make look new again as opposed to old and rusty and terrible, well, I got the place for you. It's Houston Powder Coaters because they can do it all. If it's metal, they're going to sand it down. They're going to make it look, they're going to primp and they're going to prime and they're going to make sure that it looks just beautiful. Over 100 different colors in stock, and they can actually make any color that you want. If your patio furniture, your car part, or whatever metal thing that you have is old and you need it refurbished, there's one place to go, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888, 281-676-3888, or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.